I actually I just skimmed through it, and like when I saw my name, I'll read that page.
That's Marquise Young, and the book he's been flipping through is Hope, A School, A Team, A Dream. It's the account of the 2012 season of the Hope High School boys basketball team, for which Marquise played. We're sitting in the Hope High gym in Providence, Rhode Island, with, among others, the book's author, longtime Providence Journal writer Bill Reynolds.
The first couple of days of practice, I was, like, horrified. You had kids with different colored uniforms, different colored shirts, sneakers. It was like a bad gym class. And you had coaches trying to impose a structure on something that at the time was unstructurable, if that's a term.
Was it like a bad gym class at the beginning? Is that what it felt like to you?
Yes.
Wayne Clements was the 2012 team's point guard.
It was chaos half of the time in the beginning until we all, like, got together and everybody was on the same page.
The first time I met Wayne was over here in the bleachers, and he wasn't playing. I said, "What happened to you?" And he says, "Well, I broke my wrist." And I said, "How?" He says, "There was a big girl fight down the street at Brown, and we were running from the cops, and I jumped over a fence, and I broke my wrist."
Yeah, that's true. My elbow, actually.
Injuries happen, and sometimes they happen when you're running away from the police. Homelessness happens, too, and so does hunger. At one point during the 2012 season, Reynolds learned that one of the Hope High players hadn't eaten all day and wasn't likely to eat before the game unless one of his teammates had a leftover candy bar.
These kids go through things that most people have no clue, and they do it on a daily basis. And this is not just Hope High School here. This is every inner-city school in Providence. This is every inner-city school in America. And this is the reality of it. They come into a difficult environment every day. It's not a neighborhood school. They have to travel from other parts of the city to get here. They come back after games, and there are no cars here. They go home to sometimes chaotic situations, and it's everything here is difficult. So you can't be around it too long without realizing that your heart goes out to these kids.
You know, what he was saying, it is true. You know, we do go through some things that some people wouldn't experience. But
Malik Young was a consistent scoring threat on the 2012 team.
Like how he just described it, when I was in high school going through it, I didn't see it as that. I seen it as I'm getting a chance to play basketball, and that's what I love, you know, and that was enough for me. Taking a bus didn't really matter. I was getting here, playing with my friends, with my brother. You know, I known Wayne for 10 years, you know, so that was just a real blessing. And my family came here. It was actually the school I wanted to go to since I was in, like, sixth grade. I wanted to go to Hope.
Malik Young is not unusual in that respect. Hope High School, built in 1936 and looking its age, has a proud basketball history. There are championship banners on the walls of the old gym. But according to head coach Dave Nibloom, who's been at Hope for over two decades, the job requires sensitivity to a lot more than the pick and roll and the zone defense.
You know, if we coach the way we want to coach, we wouldn't have a team here. Because they come late, because they miss practices, because they miss schoolwork. But you've got to make exceptions because of the stuff that they deal with on an everyday life, which is frustrating.
To say Nibloom's witnessed highs and lows would understate dramatically his experience there.
That unfortunately I've had five former players of mine have already died. So a couple of them injuries or sicknesses, but a couple of them have been shot, a couple of them been in the wrong place, wrong time. So it's, you know, when that happens, it's not just myself, it's a big family that comes out and supports.
Even journalist Bill Reynolds felt he had no choice but to become part of that family.
You start off as an observer, and you're going to come in here, and you're going to be kind of detached, and that lasts about 2 days, and eventually you root for them, and you get to know them, some better than others, and you want them to do well.
In 2012, they did do well, though it didn't look as if they would when the season began.
I can remember going on the bus, I think it was to the first real game, Henrikin on the road, and, you know, they scored like 3 points in the first quarter. I mean, and I'm sitting behind the bench saying, like, what have I signed up here for? Because I don't quite know what this is. But that turns out to be all part of the story, too.
A small part, as it turned out. After starting the season 2-7, Hope High got organized, stopped looking like a bad gym class, won the Division I championship, and made it to the semifinals of the state tournament, where they were undone by foul calls, some of which the coaches still consider dubious. When that season ended, Malik Young took a year off before enrolling at Community College of Rhode Island.
You know, after my senior year, I knew I wasn't good enough for college. You know, so I was like, I'm going to take a year off and I'm going to work at it. hard work beats talent. When talent fails to work hard, that's all that is, you know. And I work hard, and so I actually walked on to CCRI, and within like 7 or 8 games, I got the starting role, and I had 2 decent years at CCRI. I can't complain about it. You know, it was cool. It was cool.
And what's happening now? What are you up to now?
Here we go. Let's get this. After that year, it was sort of like my senior year. I was like, I don't want to go anywhere else. Johnson & Wales wanted me, LaSalle, but I was like, I don't want to go because I know I'm not ready for that. And I was like, I want to work out. I got 2 more years of eligibility. I want to work out and try to go D2 somewhere. Walk on. I can shoot the ball. Everybody can take a shooter. And I was like, follow your heart, Malik. And you know what? I didn't follow my heart. I listened to other people, and I knew this was going to happen at Johnson & Wales. And I wasn't ready for it. And I knew I wasn't. And, you know, I got thrown in that water, and I can't swim, you know, and I drowned. But it's life. You learn, you live, you know, and I'm going to go back to CCRI in September and get a fresh start. I might even run track. I was talking to the athletic director today. I think I'm going to run track. You know, I'm going to try to flip this, try to flip it.
At one point in the book, Bill Reynolds characterizes the state high school tournament in Rhode Island as a little sliver of the big time. Like Malik Young, Wayne Clemons isn't ready to accept that little sliver of time is over.
I knew I'd be on a big stage again, so losing the finals and all that, I hope, it didn't really stress me that much, be all honest. I knew I'd be playing again, so.
Certainly stranger things have happened. As Coach Nyblom says, these are talented players with lots of basketball potential beyond high school. But some of them acknowledged that they considered school a place to play basketball. Studying wasn't part of the plan. Very few basketball players, even basketball players with great potential, ever get the opportunity to play professionally. For everybody else, some sort of plan B is not just a good idea, it's crucial. But ask Wayne Clemons to name his favorite subject at Community College of Rhode Island, and he's likely to say, ball is life. Come to think of it, that's exactly what he did say. He was laughing when he said it.